Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today, I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Good morning, Coach Steve. I am fantastic today. I'm very, very, very in the zone.
Very, very, very. You said it three times, Nick. You are in the zone, are you?
In the zone times three.
No, I think when you're in the gym, like your gym right now, if you're listening to this, you probably can't see Coach Nick, but she's of course in her home gym, and she's got a barbell behind her in a bench rack, and looks like she's doing a bench a couple hundred kilos, like always.
So absolutely.
Nick is in the zone. She's ready to go.
I'm going to, as you know, if I have trouble speaking today, I will just sit back and bench and do what I do best.
No, I love it. I love it. And if your mind does wander, like I forgive you, Nick, because you're looking at the iron, right? The Swoley Church is where you are. And of course, your mind is going to wander as we look at some of our favorite tools out there, our barbells and our barbell plates.
Definitely. Don't you love the fact that I've got just enough visual where you can see the squat rack and the bench press, and you just know that, like, I'm good for it, and you know, I'm doing the major lifts and we're all good.
I love it. It's a little bit of a tease, but you know what's up, right? You got your squat rack, your bench press, yep. Ready to go.
Yep. I've got my hoodie on my head, so I'm like a little bit M&M as well.
No, look, Nick, love it. We are in week six of the challenge, Nick, week six. So we have reached that halfway mark. And gosh, how quickly does it fly by? Where, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about starting the challenge. Now we're talking about being halfway through, and we've got to start talking about the end of the challenge as we get through that tail end, as we start to, you know, really think about the nitty gritty and, you know, those who want to be competitive in our competition. What are we going to do to be competitive versus those who want to maintain their results and, you know, try to be, think about longevity and what's the next phase in their transformation. And, you know, we can't just continually diet until oblivion where we end up nothing, right? We can't keep bulking until we take over the mass of the earth. Like, we need to have a plan and a strategy where we go, okay, I'm going to be gaining muscle for X amount of time, and then I'm going to be losing weight for X amount of time, or I'm going to be partying at maintenance for X amount of time because I want to enjoy that area there. And, you know, those decisions ultimately come up to you, but being in week six is a great time to start thinking about that long-term strategy. Like, what's the goal here? What's the big outcome? And sure, doing the 12-week challenge is nice. It's beautiful. We get this nice competition. You may win a prize at the end. Great, happy days. But what we hope that you don't do is just, you know, wipe your hands and go, well, I've done that fitness thing. It's time for me to find the next thing that I'm interested in. And, you know, you hang up your weightlifting shoes and your protein shaker bottle and, you know, your gym bag, and you put that all to the side and go, well, I'm on to the next thing. So we want you to be part of this fitness thing long-term. We want you to have this long-term vision, you know, this long-term almost addiction to the Swoley Church where Nikki is right now, where she's, you know, going to bring a train after this. And that's the lifestyle we hope that we pick up by listening to things like the Challenge Podcast and being part of the challenge and being part of the fitness thing. So my question to you is, what is next for you? And you may not have that answer, but it might be something that's worth thinking about today or over the next week, or by the time you catch up with us in episode number 56.
Definitely. It's always worth planning ahead. Like, I love to think about 6 months ahead of what I'm going to be doing. And then it happens. It manifests itself if you just put it out there. So yeah, don't think of this as being halfway through your fitness journey. It's just halfway through this section.
That's right. Yeah. And look, like, even talking about my own journey, like right now I'm about 2 weeks out from a powerlifting meet, which I'm really excited about. I haven't done a strength meet in a really long time. So that's going to be really a fun adventure. And then my close friend of mine is really started boxing recently, and he's talking to me all about it. He's really excited. He's, you know, on places like TikTok and Reels and watching all these, like, you know, boxing reels and stuff. It's like, oh man, it's really cool. Look at this. And the more that he's kind of like dived into that process of boxing is, you know, looking at it more like a big game of like chess than it is like a fitness thing, right? And I always thought something like boxing was just lots of aggression and lots of, you know, just like, you know, oh, I'm going to hit you, right? But, you know, it's really big strategy. If anything, it's all about not getting hit, right? And it's made me like, you know, think like, oh, like, you know, what if I tried something like that, okay? And I say this because like one, it's a, I've acknowledged that it's an interest that I've picked up over the past week or two. And then two, I acknowledge that it won't be like a long-term thing. I'm not going to be a boxer, but you know, I might go dabble, you know? So if you're thinking like, oh, I'm really interested in boxing, CrossFit, rock climbing, I'm really interested in maybe marathon running or triathlons or maybe Olympic weightlifting or whatever it is, it's okay to dabble, you know, it's okay to do like a couple of weeks, give it a try. And then I go, okay, I've tried it. It's not my thing. And then off you go. Or do it for a longer stint, let's say like 6 months or 12 months, being like, okay, I've like, you dived into the water of it. I've given it a go. And then, you know, now it's time for me to hop out and try the next thing. And I've done that all through my fitness career where, you know, I've dabbled in things like bodybuilding. I've dabbled in things like marathon running, in long distance events, in CrossFit, and all these things. And Nick, you've probably done the exact same thing, right? Where you've spent, let's say, like 6 to 12 months trying something new and then going, okay, well, I'm going to go enjoy something else. And I think it's totally okay to change your focus, change your goal, change your mindset, you know, as we go on over time.
Definitely. And I think also if you've got weightlifting as, or, you know, weight training as your base, as your body evolves and gets stronger in certain areas, you become better at certain sports as well. Than you used to be. Say for me, like with, you know, with all the training that I do with bodybuilding and stuff, it actually helps me to get a stronger back. So then when I swim, I'm like, oh, I could be quite fast. My shoulders are more developed. And then you go, oh, I might do a triathlon again. And then you spend thousands of dollars on a bike. You don't have to be that crazy. But so all the communities out there, like the triathlon community, the running community, they're so embracing of people that come along and try it. So never be afraid to do that, because you might find some new friends.
That's right. Yeah. And I do think when you think about like sports psychology, right, like the making of a champion or even making of an athlete, right, it is this mental process that gets developed over time. And speaking to previous top 10 finalists in the Max and the Maxine Challenge, often they have some sort of sporting background, or they were fit in the past, and they kind of understand that deep like psychological drive that, you know, that wants for progression over time, and, you know, that sense of being a beginner again, and, you know, like learning the foundation. So once you kind of pick up one physical sport or physical activity, you do become a little bit more physically intelligent is how I would describe it, where, you know, you can transfer over to another, you know, fitness thing or physical thing is probably a better way to describe it quite quickly. So, you know, Nick, if we put you in, let's say like a CrossFit arena, like you'd pick it up super quickly. Yeah, sure. Like there'll be lots of crossovers directly. They're doing squats, they're doing burpees, they're doing chin-ups, but they're also doing, you know, gymnastics movements. They're doing like, you know, these really hard metabolic demanding activities, right? They're WODs that they do, but, you know, you could transition really quickly through that. But then put you into another very different area, let's say something like rock climbing, you know, requires very different demands on your body, but you've got that foundation of movement where you go, okay, like you look at it a certain way, you feel it a certain way, and then you go and do it. And you probably have a very rapid learning curve past that like beginner phase straight into like that, you know, intermediate phase very quickly. So, you know, that becomes exciting and almost addicting, because then you go, oh, well, yeah, I can go surfing. And, oh, I'm going to go, you know, deep water diving, because, you know, you just transition, and your body becomes a little bit more intelligent and picking up these new things. So, you know, I say these things as, you know, an exciting thing, because, you know, once we've laid down that foundation of our body, you know, we've maybe lost a little bit of body fat, we've gained a bit of muscle, we gained a bit of coordination, we could transfer that into lots of different fitness things. And once you find something that you, you know, passionately, deeply enjoy, that could be anything that you love doing, you can do that for a really long time and maintain your body as you are. And that's where that idea of maintenance becomes really important, because if you find something that you love, that you do, that you, you know, look forward to doing on the weekend, then, you know, it's not really a chore anymore. You're not trying to grind and, you know, get out and go to the gym. You know, it's just something that you do and you love and you really thoroughly enjoy. And that's the whole aim of this thing.
Definitely. And I love that for us that we are still experimenting. Neither you nor I are too rigid with what we do. We're always open to new stuff. And I think that that helps us then bring it back to everybody else and just be excited about the whole journey all the time, which is what you guys out there need from us as well. You need us to be enthusiastic, and we are, because we're always looking for new ways to challenge ourselves.
That's right. That's right. Mm. And it's this like bigger concept of, you know, we start off as like a generalist in fitness. You know, most of us, we start something like the challenge or start going to the gym because we want to, you know, lose a little bit of body weight or build a bit of muscle or, you know, just feel good about our body, whatever it is. We start off as this kind of like general approach. Oh, I just want to generally improve my fitness. Then we start to like specialize, like, okay, I want to really focus on fat loss. I want to really focus on muscle gain. I want to really focus on getting a really big bench press or whatever it is. I want to be able to get really good at running a marathon. We start to specialize in different areas. But once we specialize, we end up in a big roundabout way to become a generalist again. So in your own fitness journey, in your own endeavors around this thing we call weightlifting, fitness, whatever it is, think of your path. You know, did you start as a generalist? Are you becoming a specialist, which is fine? And then think about ways that you can become a generalist again. So if you are primarily a weightlifter, you love to lift heavy ass weights, right? You're like a Ronnie Coleman. Is there ways that you can boost up the other aspects of fitness? Like, you know, do you need to improve your cardiovascular fitness, your metabolic fitness? Do you need to improve your flexibility or improve your balance control? You know, can you boost up all these other areas to build a well-rounded body so that you could do almost anything that you wanted to do and become a generalist again? Because I think that's the ultimate goal, to be fit, healthy, and, you know, adaptable in our body, and then, you know, have skills in different areas of interest, which is totally fine, totally cool.
Definitely. I agree.
Nick, yes, we are in week 6 of the challenge. And for many of us, we've transitioned into the new training programs, so the new training template for weeks 5 to 8, and then also into the new nutrition phase, so weeks 5 to 8 of the nutrition workbook. Okay. And, you know, it's a great time now to reflect, you know, how is it all going? You know, how is your new training program going for you? Are you enjoying it? Did you need to make lots of changes to it? Did you decide to move up a level, move down a level, or did you try to change a training split? So maybe you are more advanced and you were doing push-pull legs. Have you tried to do like a body part split? You know, what's going on? How is it going for you? And are you enjoying it, is my big question. And of course, you might not be able to tell me that, but it's a nice time just to reflect on it, being like, yeah, okay, I really like it, or no, Steve, I really don't like it. But, you know, as we go into that week 2, you know, it is okay to make some small changes. You know, let's say you don't like doing a cable bicep curl and you enjoy doing a barbell bicep curl. Okay, no dramas, you know, you can make that change. But if you wanted to make a really big change, like you wanted to change, let's say a front squat to a, you know, a reverse lunge. Okay, you know, there's slightly different, you know, foundations of movements. Maybe it's not wise to make that big change as we go into, you know, week 6 of the 5 to 8 program, especially as we go into week, you know, 7 and 8, you know, it's probably not wise to make changes to our exercises, little changes to our rep ranges and our weight, sure, no dramas, but, you know, it's all about being consistent with our training program.
Yeah, definitely. I think the more you do, the more you realize that you need to be consistent with what you actually do, and it doesn't have to be that much as long as you do it consistently.
Now, Nick, as we go into weeks, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that tail end of the challenge, we do find that, you know, many of us are just grinding away at the challenge, where we don't really have lots of questions about how it runs. You know, we kind of get the process, we get the idea, and we're just, you know, knuckling down into the programs that are available. So this is a question out to everybody listening to this is, you know, how can Coach Nick and I help you? How can we help you? And if you have a way for us to help you, you know, please reach out to us. You can reach out to us on places like the forum, or Facebook or Instagram. But we want to help you in any way that we can. So if you have any questions for us, please reach out to us. If you have any ideas for us, how we can make this experience better for you, please reach out to us, because you know we're here to help over the next 6 weeks. But we do find towards the tail end of the challenge, you know, it does become a little bit quiet. There aren't as many questions for us. So yeah, you know, we're always here to help and always finding ways to improve your experience in the challenge.
Yes, if anyone's ever watched New Amsterdam on Stan or Netflix, and Max, he's the head of the hospital, and he just says, "How can I help?" That's his motto for everything. So instead of saying, "I've got to do this today," he always just comes to everybody and says, "How can I help?" So we're the same. How can we help?
Love it. Love it. Now, Nick, we don't often talk about supplements in big detail, but we launched a really cool product last week, the Maxine's Melt. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought we'd just take some time just to talk about it and, you know, how it's actually like a really cool thing. And we could both have it for guys and girls. Okay. So of course it's a Maxine product, but you know, guys, yes, we can take Maxine products. Okay. So just a super summary, won't be a big pitch. But the Maxine's Melt is a thermogenic aid. So if you've ever looked at things like T-Dex for the guys or the burn caps for the girls, it's a similar product. It's a thermogenic aid. It's often marketed as a fat burner. Okay, so that's primarily what this product is, primarily a fat burner or a thermogenic aid. Now, what that means is that thermogenically, meaning it creates heat, so that what that extra heat in our body can increase the amount of energy expenditure we have throughout the day. Okay, so that's how it works on a mechanistic level. It literally makes you warmer. So if you do take this product, you'll feel that it's a concept of a melt, because you'll get warmer, right? And that means that you might get that little bit of a red flush, you might get a little bit sweaty because it's increasing your kind of body temperature. Okay, now there are some really cool compounds in this as well. So of course it's got that fat burning element to it. It's also got things like a digestive support in it as well. So it's got prebiotics, L-glutamine. So it can help you know, an upset stomach or just improve our digestion overall, some of these compounds. So it does have that digestive support. It's also got some nootropics in there, so a cognition boosters, so things like ashwagandha are really popular in the nootropic scene. So that's also in the products. It's also got a very low level vitamin and mineral complex. So just like taking a multivitamin. So really cool blend of compounds in the Maxine's Melt. And it comes in two different types. It's got a stim and a non-stim version. So what that means is the stim version has caffeine, almost the same amount of caffeine per serve as like a cup of coffee. So, you know, you could take that almost as a pre-workout. It's also got a non-stim version as well, which is, it comes in a really cool flavor. Nick, is it the kiwi lime?
Yeah. Lime. So I've been having that just while I've been working out, and I like it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, nice. And I do like the idea of a non-stim, because you could have it in the afternoon or the evening without, you know, overloading too much caffeine. Because, you know, if you do take like a caffeine-based product in the evening, it can affect our sleep, which is, you know, not something that we want to do. So yeah, look, a really cool product. The only advice I'd recommend is to, you know, review the thermogenic element of it. So, you know, if you're pregnant, probably not wise, or currently breastfeeding, probably not wise to take a thermogenic aid. And then also in those of us who are taking lots of Maxine products, let's say like the Sip and Burn and the Kriya Burn, you know, those have a similar thermogenic aid in it, just at a much lower level. So if you do take lots of Sip and Burn and Kriya Burn, and then now you're taking the Melt, that can be lots of thermogenics in one day, and that can lead to a little bit of an upset stomach, some diuretic effects, and, you know, some other side effects, mainly around like bowel function. So you know, maybe just be cautious about taking lots and lots of the product, especially if you're in that mindset of, oh, I want to burn as much fat as I can, I'm going to take lots and lots and lots of it. Okay, that can just lead to an upset stomach, which isn't wise. So Maxine's Melt, go check it out. Really cool product, really tasty flavors, especially that kiwi lime, and can be a really helpful product, especially if you're looking at those extra, you know, 1-2% effects on our body, because, you know, it's not going to completely replace a fat loss strategy, but it can definitely support a strategy, you know, good a strategy of good dieting, a good training program, and then a good product like this to support your strategy.
Yeah, I gave it to a couple of the big dudes in the gym as well without telling them that it was a Maxine's, and they're like, oh, this is yum. So it's got their seal of approval.
As well. As long as you get the bros to approve, you're set.
And they're like, oh, I'll have that. Okay, well, that's yum.
You almost need just like a really curly straw and like a little hat on it, that's like a little umbrella hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what would be really nice with the melt? I reckon if you had like some ice with it. So, you know, you could have like a little bit of like a quote cocktail style. You have the some ice, maybe like a little bit of like a slice of lime on the edge of the rim, and then you can have a little straw.
Oh my gosh, bring out an ebook straight away, please.
Yeah. So cocktails from supplements, yeah, alcohol free, right. Stim free if you want, and yeah, all enjoyment, that's what we want.
Yeah, awesome.
Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, our NSVs. Nick, take us away. Who'd you find?
All right. So first up, we've got Jody McTaggart. Hello, Jody. How are you? She's been a top 10 before, so Jody's been around. Anyway, Jody says, week 4 check-in photos are done. Feeling great and looking forward to the next part of the challenge. As you can see, my weight has gone up and down for the last four weeks. So there was obviously a visual. But I'm definitely not taking any notice of the numbers, which is definitely a challenge for me, especially on days numbers go up. But I'm doing daily weigh-in so I can track progression and fill in my daily tracker. Daily tracking and daily steps done. Super proud of myself. The steps have definitely been my downfall, aiming for the next 4 weeks to meet my minimum 10,000 every day. So see how within that, even though she says I haven't taken any notice, she actually has written them down. So when she says haven't taken any notice, she means she hasn't worried about it either way. So that's what we want you to do. We want you to take notice of the data enough to write it down and then let the computer do the rest. Let it say yes and calculate the rest nicely. And you don't have to be attached to it. So I quite like that for Jody. And Jody's on a bit of a mission. So she'll end up looking awesome, as she always does. So well done, Jody.
I love that, Jody. Yeah. And I think, you know, you keep nailing back that point of, okay, you know, those numbers, like the numbers on the scale, we don't need to be emotionally attached to it. It's simply just a data point, you know, add it to our logbook, our journal, our diary, whatever you are tracking it with, add it to there and, you know, just move on. Later, you can reflect on all of our numbers, you know, taking our weekly average and, you know, checking if we are going in the right direction. But, you know, you really nailed that, Jody. You know, keep working hard to your goals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do think that the extreme that people tend to do with this emotion where you go, don't even look at it. If we can just do what Jody's doing, be like Jody, then we're happy.
Be like Jody.
All right, be like Jody. So we can also be like Ayla Ramsey. She's next. So nice segue. Thank you very much. She says, oh, I get to say, yeah. She says, yeah. So excited. My new bench arrived. But holy hell, if I could put this together successfully and still have a partner by the end of it, then this is definitely my biggest NSV of this challenge. Please pray for me and my relationship. So, yeah, that gym equipment that comes delivered, it's quite complex. I've had many a time with Shane putting together a few different things. I think our power rack was the hardest, I must say, because there were bits that I had to hold over my head while he was drilling them. But NSV, I love the fact that she's getting a bench anyway, so that's great. So I hope it worked out. Let us know, Ayla, how'd you go?
I love that. The old flat pack assembly is always a testing of the old marriage, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you've been doing a few of those with baby George and extra home gym equipment. You'd be having lots of flat pack situations.
Yeah. But I love them, actually. I'm a sucker for things like Lego, right? So like things like a flat pack, I'm like, oh, this is my jam. So like,
of course you do,
right? Yeah. So Laura would come in like, oh yeah, I'll help. I'm like, nope, go away, this is my thing. So I actually enjoy that kind of stuff.
That's soothing for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so that's like comfort zone.
Yeah.
All right, next one we've got is Lara Moen. She says, NSV for me, a humble chin up. I've been trying to do this with my pull-up bar at home. Stoked to do this today. Goal to add more by the end of the challenge. So we know that we're both obsessed with anything like this. We love it when people do chin-ups, pull-ups. Women, when you can sort of start to get engaged with that, that's a whole different level. Upper body training is awesome. Being able to do those things is badass, and I love it.
I love it. I love it. Chin-ups, pull-ups are just so such a powerful thing, being having that strength to be able to pull your body up to a bar. So I do that. Love that, Lara. Keep going.
That's right. Because if we ever fall off a cliff as well, that's the only way we're going to be able to get up.
That's right. That's right. Or if you're in a helicopter and you fall out of the helicopter, but you're able just to grab hold of something, you grab hold of the little leg of the helicopter and you're going to have to put yourself up. So
if you ever want to go on SAS and you have to do the helicopter jump, well, imagine if you jumped and you made it and you hung on to the helicopter, but you couldn't pull yourself up.
Yeah, you'd be stuck.
So sad.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, you've got to train for that helicopter now.
Yeah, so train for the helicopter. Just train like you're going to be on SAS and then you'll basically be a badass. So, yeah, awesome. How about yourself, Steve? What have you got?
All right, so first one here, we've got Lee Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. And she writes, husband is on night shift, so home workout for day one and two. Hit killed me today, she writes. Not feeling this week, but going to keep trying. NSV is having a go at Renegade Rose. Couldn't even do a plank for 30 seconds prior to this challenge. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea, right? You know, something like a plank, holding that for 30 seconds can be very challenging for some individuals, but then now we've moved it up into something like a Renegade Row, which is like a plank with one arm while the other arm is doing a row. So a very challenging movement. And you were, Lee, you were struggling to do a plank. Now you're nailing this. So big congratulations to you, a huge NSV. Love it.
Definitely. Well done.
The next one here goes to Melissa O'Brien. Okay, and Melissa writes, due to terrible weather conditions today, I spent all day on planes that had been delayed and waiting around airports to return from Harvey Bay to Sydney via Brisbane. So shout out to anybody who's caught up in the, you know, New South Wales and Queensland floods, or maybe being isolated because of the flood water. I hope you're staying safe. But someone like Melissa sounds like she's been experiencing heavy delays because of some of those floods. So stay safe, Melissa. But Melissa writes that the old Mel would have eaten her way through takeaway in the food court at the airport to survive the hectic day. The Maxine's Challenge Mel made good, healthy, protein-filled choices to stay within my macros and not get hungry. These are the biggest changes in my behaviors I'm seeing so far in the challenge. And I love that. You know, that just summarizes the entire challenge experience, where we go, okay, life sucks, right? We get thrown curveballs all the time. And, you know, it's about our response to some of these, you know, really hectic and stressful experiences, like being at the airport with, you know, major delays and probably lots of chaotic situations happening around you. But, you know, the old you, you've identified, would have, you know, just gone to the food court and just eating whatever you want. But the new you has made some good, healthy, protein-filled choices to stay within your target macros or your target calories. And I love that, Melissa. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah, it's awesome. I just love the fact that she figured out and went with the protein, how it can actually make you full. So if you actually go with what your body needs and, you know, not the temptations of the food court, you'll realize that you are quite full from, say, like even if you had a chicken sandwich or something. You know, it's not crazy, but it keeps you full, and that's that.
So good. The last one here goes out to Mark Welsh. Mark Welsh, and he writes, hashtag NSV. My resting heart rate has been up over the past 2 years, but now it's beginning to drop right down into the positive range. And then he posts a photo of his heart rate tracked over, I think it was like a Fitbit. But look, that's really huge. And I love that, where, you know, we could see this long-term physiological change in our body where our heart rate is decreasing. That means our body and our heart is becoming more efficient to be able to pump blood and oxygen around our bodies. So, you know, that is a big driver of our overall fitness level. So huge congratulations, Mark. You know, it doesn't matter what the number is on the scales. because, you know, our heart rate is very different to what the number is on the scales. You could be really lean scale wise, but, you know, your heart rate could be, you know, quite high still. So there is a little bit of a disconnect between those two numbers. So if your heart rate is going down, that's a huge non-scale victory win. And that's really great for overall health, which is huge.
Yeah. And once you get to know your heart rate and you know your body, it's crazy because say for me, if I'm not well rested, my heart rate will go up by maybe one beat per minute average and one or two for that week. And I'll be like, oh, hang on, just got to have a little bit more sleep. So once you really get to know yourself, it's a great number. And apart from health reasons as well. So well done. I love all of those. They're so meaningful. Good yes. on you, everyone.
Big congratulations to all of our NSV participants this week. If you know of an NSV that's happening to you, post about it. You can reach out and post on places like our Facebook social hub. You know, you can post on Instagram and tag the Max and Maxine Challenge. Then you can also post it in your journals. Nick and I spend lots of time reading each of your journal posts. So reach out, post your NSVs and celebrate them.
Yeah, amazing. Keep going, everybody. Love it.
Nick, let's move on to our coach's corner where we offer our tip for the week. So Nick, take us away. What advice do you have for us?
So today I just wanted to, because it's week six, I think it's a good time to ask you six questions that you can go away and then perhaps you can write the answers down somewhere. Maybe you can write them in your journal. It's just a good time to regroup. So six questions to ask yourself for week six. Six for six.
Six for six.
What Love do you it. Think? Okay. So, the first one is what skills do I need to develop the body that I desire? So if you just have a think of that, like if you picture your ideal body, it might be, you know, I need to be able to perform this way. I need to, perhaps work on my cardio fitness, as we were talking about, to be able to perform the things that I need to do to develop the body that I desire. You might need to spend some time working on your technique. You know, if you want to do those squats and deadlifts, and if you want to do them for muscle growth, you know, even for strength and explosive purposes, you might need to enlist the help of a PT. You know, sometimes people will do the technique Tuesday, and then sometimes you think we can describe it as much as we can, but it'd be good to have someone there hands-on. So occasionally it's good to just enlist some help. So what skills do I need to develop the body I desire? So this is like just really tangible stuff that you can start to work on. What's the best way to move to achieve my goal? So if it's about, as Jody was saying in the NSVs, if it's about getting those extra steps, you know, working on, I suppose you can't work on your NEAT. It is what it is, which is just your energy expenditure by fidgeting. Like I'm a fidgety person. Like when I'm just a fidgeter, I do the Italian gestures, things like that. But how do I need to move to achieve my goal? So for example, say Shane, he needs to go for a walk every day to start to, you know, achieve his goal of just a little bit of weight loss. So have a think of that and think of it as doing it with your goal in mind. So that's going to actually then make you get out there if you're supposed to do it for your goal, not just because you have to do it. That helps. What's the best way to eat to achieve my end goal? So instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to do this for, because I have to, or that's what people are telling me to do, or I don't like the template, or I'm quote unquote bored. If you just think about what's the best way to eat to achieve my end goal, sometimes it actually stops you from then doing things like maybe going through the Macca's drive-through, you know, that kind of a thing, because it's like if you think of your end goal in mind, that isn't necessarily the best way to eat to facilitate that. So once again, isn't that amazing? It's linked back to the NSVs. It's back to Melissa's one. She's actually thinking in that way, what's the best way to eat to achieve my end goal? And you know what? The end goal isn't necessarily the final week of the week 12 challenge. It's a 12-week challenge. It's all about your end goal is to be able to do what we were talking about earlier, Coach D, move, you know, change sports, be a dynamic human being, live your very, very best life. How do I achieve the body I desire in a sustainable way? So that's also then, how do I not do things where I feel like I'm depriving myself? And then sometimes I see people say, you know, it's only a few more weeks. Now, of course, if you are going for that, as we say, exotically lean, you won't be able to live there. And that's going to be for your final pictures, and that's going to be maybe to really have a shot at getting into the top 10 or winning. That's not sustainable, but we all know that. But the lifestyle that you need to do to produce those results is sustainable. So you can then just eat a little bit more, but to those goals, and then have new goals that involve building. So you just want to think about, how do I achieve it in a sustainable way? How do I create those habits? How do I not do something which is so extreme that I know that the second that I stop doing this challenge, I'm gone? You know, because we're very susceptible at the end when we're lean. We can, it's an excellent time to gain muscle, but it's also a time when our bodies are going to be able to really soak up that body fat as well. So it's where we actually need to be really intelligent. So we need to plan ahead there as well. What other factors do I need to consider to achieve my goal? So sleep, stress, and mindset, they're also things that you can write down and you can go, what do I need to work on? Sometimes, as we know, as you know, Coach Steve, sleep with babies might not always be the way that you want it to be, but what can you do to control that? What can you do? Can you go to bed a little bit earlier? Can you hop off your phone? Can you take it in turns with your partner to have a full night? You know, just anything like that. Stress, now that doesn't mean obviously within your job, it might be a stressful job, but how can you control the way that you respond to that stress? Because we can't stop the stress in our life, but we can sort of start to control the way that we respond to it over time. I'm naturally quite a stressed person, but as I'm getting older, I'm controlling the way that I respond to it just a little bit more, maybe taking a deep breath, maybe sitting on something for a little bit more. Because our body doesn't know if we're being chased by a lion or if we're stressed because we got an email from work. You know, we don't know. It doesn't know. It has the same response. So just think about that. Think about your mindset. Is it strong? What can you do? Can you get rid of some things? I went to a party on the weekend that went for the whole weekend, and, you know, people were quite excited to sort of say, hey, let's get you to eat some junk food and things like that. Now, my mindset's ridiculous in that sort of thing. It's been like that for years. But just that sort of thing of how do I get that mindset? I just know that it doesn't work towards my goals to do it. But have a think about that. Like, how can you become unbreakable? And finally, how is my environment and social network facilitating this growth? So that just sometimes means that you might need to, even within your gym space, do you need to clean it up? Do you need to find a new gym? Is your gym a bit weird where you can't film yourself? Are there too many people at your gym that just want to have coffee? Are they telling you to do the group fitness classes when you should be getting into the gym? That sort of stuff. And your social network, maybe you should join a team that we were talking about before, where everybody's got the same goals, because that's a lot easier than hanging out with people all the time that just want to do something that's completely opposite to what you are after. So they're just six things to think about, six questions at week six.
I love it. Six from six, Nick. And I think they were really great questions to, reflect on, right? Mm-hmm. Where, we don't have the answers to those questions for mm-hmm. you, but, you know, going through some of those questions could really highlight areas that you can improve on, spend some more time on. Maybe you can think about some of those questions going, what is my end goal here? Like, what is a way that I can maintain this or be sustainable through this? You know, what are the limiting factors to me achieving those goals? And I think we need to consistently reflect on those things, and that's the only way that we really improve.
Definitely. I agree.
Nick, I'd like to talk about calluses.
Yay,
calluses. Yes. So more specifically, talking about lifting calluses, and even more specifically, the calluses that we get on our hands. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's a little bit of a rite of passage, you know, to develop these calluses on our hands. You know, you are now a gym person, a gym bro, and part of being a gym bro is that you develop a thickening of your hands when you grab those barbells. Okay. Now, it's very normal and almost expected to develop calluses on your hands, especially, you know, around that first joint of our fingers, which we call the PIPS, the proximal interphalangeal joint. Okay. And the metatarsals, okay, which is where the finger actually attaches onto the palm. Okay. It's very normal to experience calluses in those areas, okay, because of how we grab the bar. Now, how are calluses made? You know, what are calluses telling us? Now, the development of calluses occur when there's movement on our skin. Okay, when there's movement on our skin. So if you're noticing that you're developing lots and lots of calluses, or your hands are getting really beaten up by lifting barbells, I'm talking about, you know, deadlifts, I'm talking about, you know, the chin-up bar, you know, the barbell when you're doing a barbell curl or barbell row, whatever it is, it can be telling us that the bar is moving in our hands a lot. And, you know, some movement is inevitable because if you grab hold of something and it's really heavy, it's going to move, you know, even if it's like a quarter of a millimeter, it's going to move. But lots of movement is just going to cause lots of friction, and lots of friction is just going to end up to a point where our body goes, well, we need more skin in that area. Let's develop a callus. Okay. So just like our body goes, we need more muscle in that bicep so we can do more bicep curls. Same thing happens in your hand. We develop more skin because our body goes, well, I need more skin in that area because of use in that area. Okay, so very normal, but it is telling us that there is some movement in our hand. Okay, so here are some tips for you. So firstly, if you are wearing gloves, I would recommend that you don't wear gloves when you're training, even though they're marketed as, you know, avoiding calluses or something. What the gloves actually do is cause more movement in our hands, which can drive the development of calluses or wearing down of skin. So I recommend most people to not wear gloves because that can cause more unnecessary calluses growing on our hands. Okay, so avoid the gloves. Number two, try to use chalk. I understand some gyms don't have chalk and such, but if you have access to chalk, use chalk when you're lifting, especially some of those heavier lifts, more specifically in things like the deadlift. I apply chalk mainly over the palm of my hands, right? Kind of where over those calluses kind of form. There's no need to like put chalk all, you know, in between your fingers and on the back of your hands and up your forearms and stuff like that. Waste of time. mainly just on those kind of key areas where you're gripping hold of the bar. Next, I want you to think about the positioning of the barbell. Okay, so some of us will place the barbell deep in our palm, right in the middle of our palm. And then if you make like a fist around that barbell, you'll notice that there ends up being a nice pinching of the skin, kind of where those calluses are forming. Okay, now what we kind of want is actually to place that barbell more over the callus itself, right? So closer to that joint of the finger when you wrap around, and when you're doing something like a deadlift, think fist down towards the ground, you know, about like you're trying to punch the ground. So we're trying to avoid grabbing hold of the barbell, you know, deep in our palm, and if anything, trying to grab hold a little bit closer to where the fingers meet the palm over the barbell. The reason why, again, is just so we avoid that pinching of the skin when the barbell rolls, okay? So now, what can we do to reduce calluses once they've actually been formed? Well, firstly, don't pick at them. I'm a little bit of a callus picker. So like when I, like, you know, if my callus does get a little bit of trauma from, you know, like a heavy session, especially if you're using some of those barbells that have a really thick knurling, and I call them the cheese grater bars, you know, the ones, Nick, yeah, where they're really like you grab hold and you're like, wow, I'm, you know, you have to peel your hands off of them, the cheese grater bars.
Yeah, they've got other people's skin on them too.
Right, yeah. So, you know, they can kind of like, you know, disrupt the callus. So it's probably best not to pick at them because it can just make the whole process work. It's like picking at a scab, you know, you love to do it, but it's probably not good for you, okay? So don't pick at your calluses. If it does get too thick, maybe you work in an environment where you need to have soft hands. Let's say myself, I'm an osteopath, so I spend lots of time, you know, touching people, right? Where I'm grabbing hold of body parts, moving them around. So if I have really, you know, lots of calluses or anything, I do need to manage them. So you can go through a process where you soak your hands for like 30 seconds or so, just to make your hands nice and soft. And then you could use tools like a pumice stone, you know, those kind of rocks, and you can kind of grind them down slightly. And there's also callus razors that you can buy just to like shave them down more prominent if you have like calluses on your foot and such, but you know, you can use them on your hands as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what can we do if we've torn a callus? I've torn a callus, Nick, I'm sure you've torn calluses. Yeah. It happens. So a tearing of a callus is where the callus kind of grabs holes in the skin, rips the skin, and then we get a nice, nice looking wound on your hand. Yeah. So what can we do? Well, yeah, we do want to kind of like cut off that tear of the callus or cut off that skin. We do have exposed tissue, so it's probably wise to tape or bandage or, you know, some sort of first aid to that area. And then if you wanted to be in a position where you did want to go and train, which you could train with a torn callus, you know, it's probably not wise to be going for, you know, one rep max on the deadlift because that's going to be applying pressure to that callus. But you can train, absolutely. It's probably wise to have like a bandage or even wearing like a lifting glove. So yeah, I know I said don't wear gloves, but in this situation, it's probably wiser to have more of a barrier because we just don't want to get that wound infected. So if you do have a torn callus on the palm of your hand and you're going to go grab hold of things, it's probably wise to have a few layers just so an infection doesn't occur, because that's going to just further delay the tissue healing process and then further delay you getting back into the gym. Okay. So the main takeaway is that calluses are normal. It's a rite of passage and something to be embraced. There are some things we can do to like limit their development. So, you know, for myself, I don't have like, you know, really big and, you know, crazy calluses. They're there just because I've had them since I was like a teenager. But you know, you do see some people's hands where they, you know, are really torn up with calluses, and that can be telling us that the barbell is just moving too much. So if you are experiencing lots of torn calluses, really big development of calluses, it can be telling us that the skill with the barbell is low at the moment, and you may need to improve the way that you're gripping hold of the barbell so that it doesn't move as much in your hand through your exercise. So it's always telling us something. These things are always kind of giving us a hint, whether we're doing something right or wrong, or if we need to improve something, or where our limiting factor is. Calluses, awesome. Rite of passage, get them done.
Now with the chalk also, I'll just say recently, just because of the way gyms are now with all the rules and everything, they've gone a bit weird about chalk, but just get a bottle of liquid chalk. So if you've ever seen that, that's what you can have. You can carry that around because that doesn't make any mess. So that's my hot tip for chalk.
Yeah, that's like
COVID times.
The rock climbing chalk. The liquid one. Yeah. Yeah.
You ooze it on and then it's like, oh, what's this? What's going on? But then it does dry.
Yeah. So yeah. Nice. And then it has like a little bit of like a stickiness to it. You know, if you like do like, you know, the one-handed clap and you're like, ooh, it just feels
It's good for a couple of lifts as well. So it's not like normal chalk where you have to reapply. It's like probably good for about maybe two or three different goes. So I rate it. And also one more thing, I have to say it. The cure for the cure for the injury is within the injury, you know, within the actual way that you did it. Well, sometimes I like to, because I'm in a home gym as well, I like to, I don't have any calluses really anymore. I mean, I've got them, but I don't have anything that's open. But I like to actually get the barbell and act like that's a razor or a stone. I wouldn't do that in a normal gym. Well, if I'm squatting, sometimes I have a habit of it, but I do clean up after.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all a bit gross.
But like you said, though, you know, your calluses like aren't really like big and gnarly calluses at the moment, because over time you develop the skill where that barbell doesn't move as much as what it might have done previously. So, you know, if you like took a photo of, you know, your and my hands, you're probably like, oh, the hands are really smooth.
Yes.
Even though if you really looked at them, you know, we've got this really thick callus that's grown, but it's not like an aggravated callus with lots of like, you know, white dead skin hanging around and those types of things. So, you know, it is something that over time, you know, we actually get less of, because you know, the callus is still there. I'm not saying that it's not, the thickening of the skin is still there, but the dead skin that's associated with that isn't there, which is you know, something that is a sign of a little bit more of an advanced weightlifter.
That's right. When I was going through my phase of just learning, I'd have a lot of different blisters and calluses happening all the time, but I quite liked it because I felt like I was cool.
Yeah. Have you ever tried the hook grip with weightlifting? Yes. Yeah. And you get that kind of callus and like almost blister form of the thumb.
Yeah, that's insane, that grip. I think I'll work on that next as a thing.
Yeah.
After being at a hook grip, 150 kilos.
Yeah. Well, when I was doing like Olympic weightlifting, I was using the hook grip. That was okay to, about, 120 or so. But now I've got like a power bar and that's got like the cheese grater knurling. And you hook grip that, about it, because you feel like it's like, piercing your thumb. So I'm going to have to buy some, like maybe a little bit of tape just to kind of fight the knurling with my thumb. I think that's going to be after my meet is going to be hook grip Steve. That's where it's at.
Yeah, that's after, because you can't do anything. You can't change anything now. You're in the funnel.
In the funnel.
Yeah, there's no changes.
The funnel of specificity, that's where it's at, yes.
Exactly, that's you.
Nick, let's go through some questions for this week.
Okay.
First one here is, I am mildly hungry all day, but the time I go to bed, I am starving. Okay. I generally aim to be in bed by 10 p.m. as I get up for an early workout. However, I am having trouble getting to sleep because I am super hungry, or I wake up an hour or two after going to bed ravenous. I make sure I have a casein protein shake or Maxine custard as the last food before bed. I'm drinking 3 liters of water and eat so many greens to fill up during the day. Any ideas? Nick, what advice do you have for this person?
All right. So firstly, hunger isn't a bad thing. Don't be afraid of a bit of hunger. If you're in a calorie deficit, you will feel hungry. That's just the way it is. We're trained to be scared of hunger. It's like we've been told immediately as soon as we feel hungry, we have to fix that. That's okay. Just sit with it. There are also levels of hunger. So you really need to ascertain if you truly are ravenous, because that's 10 out of 10. I can't survive if I don't get some food in my face. We all know what that feels like. If you've eaten a meal or you've had a custard and things, chances are it's not necessarily ravenous. You could be thirsty. You could just be used to eating a certain meal at a certain time of day. However, there are some things that you can do. You can shift your meals a little bit so you are eating closer to bedtime if that's what you're used to doing. You have got a certain amount of calories throughout the day, so you can shift them. You can save one of your larger meals to evening time. I know that people say, oh, don't eat before bed. The digestion, yes, that might, it might slow down. It might impact your sleep a little bit, but it sounds like you're waking up anyway. So you can always stretch out your last meal a little bit further. Remember, you've got an allowance. So if you want to do that, you can. You can have the nighttime custard or whatever it was that you were having. You can have that closer to your bedtime. You could also, grab some servings of maybe, I actually have done a little bit of research on this, but I can't confirm for sure, but bananas are supposed to be quite good before bed. So you could perhaps borrow a banana from somewhere else and have that. Anything that has, I don't know, I'm not so great at it, but perhaps something like, I think it's tryptophan or something that helps with your sleep, but potassium, bananas have that. So I've found that if I have a banana before bed, that's actually, it could be a placebo, I don't know, but it actually quite helps with sleep. That's just a little Coach Nick tip. So you can eat later in the day. A nice warm drink is good before bed as well. So I think it's also, I really think it's the association of perhaps you've always left your meals a little bit later, and it's just that association of comfort. I'm going to eat. I need to fill myself up before I go to bed. So that's something else to think about. So a warm drink is good. A cup of tea, perhaps you could even have, if you're desperate, you could have one of those Jarrah hot chocolates. They're 47 calories. So that's a tip, 47 calories. You could chuck that into your meal, and that makes you feel like you have had something. So that's a bodybuilder trick. You wouldn't have it in the last few weeks, but there you go. I like to have a dandelion tea. I find that quite nice. You could also do something like radical while we've still got some light nighttime things, but you could go for a little walk, or my strategy is also, this is not to satisfy the hunger. This is actually to try and move away from it. I like to rate my hunger. I do a scale of 1 to 10. I then tell myself, I can have anything I want if I want it, but then I wait for the wave to pass, because hunger can be a bit like a wave. So if you wait for that to pass and then do something else, like, yeah, go for a walk, maybe leave the kitchen, maybe do something physical, like, yeah, like stretching or some yoga or something like that, because then that actually just takes your mind off it and makes you feel good, gives you some endorphins and some other things that you might get from food. Usually that sort of dopamine hit, you can get that from that. So that'd be my little tips for this person. Hunger is not too bad though. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I the only thing I'd add is that it may be like super behavioral, super habitual. And like you mentioned, Nick, like this person might be someone who was previously eating late in the night, and maybe getting up early to go and work out is new to them. So they're going to bed a little bit earlier. So maybe that time at like 10 o'clock was a normal time for that person to eat food. And if that is a habit, a routine that this person has established, of course, their body is going to trigger that hunger response, being like, well, it's 10 o'clock, like it's food time. Like, what do you mean? Like no food, like I'm hungry. And it can be simply like waiting it out, like you said, you know, wait for that wave to pass. Or it's just understanding that it is purely habitual. Maybe that is a nighttime picker habit that has been developed, and it's about overcoming that. And that may take a little bit of like, you know, mental willpower, may take a little bit of strategic food consumption so that our body, you know, phases away and dehabitualizes to that. But hunger is very normal. Give it some time, it will pass.
Yes. Agreed.
Next question here is, I have had an iron deficiency previously in my life, and it's self-managed with oral supplements. I am feeling that I'm not gaining muscle as fast as I would like. I was wondering if low iron in the body can result in less muscle being built. Okay, cool question. I like it. So on like a pure physiological level, you know, muscle does, you know, iron levels doesn't directly impact, you know, the growth of muscle, like, you know, directly. So, you know, take it on the flip side. If you were a normal person and you wanted to grow muscle, we wouldn't recommend that you increase your iron intakes to grow more muscle, because there's no like really close link to it. If you are having an iron deficiency though, we know that symptoms of iron deficiency is one, fatigue, and two, the iron plays a big part in the development of red blood cells, and that red blood cells promotes oxygen circulation around our body. So both of those, fatigue and oxygen circulation, are really closely linked to our overall effort that we can apply in the gym. Because if you're low in iron, you're not able to lift to your maximal potential. You're not able to, you know, train as hard as you possibly could train. So then the stimulus, the overall raw stimulus that you can apply to your muscle, to your body, to stimulate muscle growth is lower. So how can low iron impact muscle growth? Well, it really does come down to just a lower level of stimulus on your body. So that overall fatigue then can play parts in other areas of our life. So, you know, things like our NEAT can decrease because, you know, we're just tired from our fatigue. Then it can also just impact our recoverability, and then our next bout of training is also then affected. So then instead of kind of going these progressive steps up, you know, up that staircase as we kind of progress over time, you know, either we're just kind of like stagnating, or if anything, we're going down because of that fatigue that can come on with low iron. So if you're experiencing low iron, I would recommend you go speak to a GP. You know, iron deficiency, a little bit more medical in nature, a little bit outside of the scope of what the challenge can offer. However, if you did do a quick Google search of low iron, you'll probably learn that, you know, iron does, yeah, play a big part in our red blood cell production. It can affect our fatigue levels. And to manage it, it can be managed through oral supplements. Also, some changes in our diet to have higher iron foods, such as animal products, and also some, you know, things like green leafy vegetables and other high iron vegetables, which you can look up quite quickly with a Google search. I'd also recommend you check out the role of vitamin B12 in its effect on the body in absorption of iron as well, because individuals who have low B12 levels often have low iron levels as well. And often that is a characteristic of someone who's having a plant-based diet. So it can be driven by dietary factors. It can also be driven by genetic factors as well, which is why it's wise to speak with your GP if you know that you have an iron deficiency.
Definitely.
Nick, yes. Next question here. I really want to do a chin-up, but I get stuck halfway. Any tips?
Yep. Well, I'm going to go straight to the big guns for this because I must say, like, if I'm training someone and they're wanting to do a chin-up or pull-up, we can do assisted ones until the cows come home. But sometimes what I find with that is that you get into a movement pattern doing those where you're actually not learning to recruit as much as you could if you were doing these, which are the eccentric pull-up. So the one, this is the one that I find really helps people progress a lot. So for this, what you want to do is you want to go to the top of the movement, you want to hold on, and you want to lower yourself down as slowly as you can, controlling your body weight down, all the way down to the bottom. So you get all the feelings that you would feel when you go in the upward phase, but you're just controlling that downward portion. So I would like people to work up to 10 of those, super, super controlled, like the slowest thing you've ever seen in your life. I like to do those. So I just think they just really help you to familiarize yourself with that movement of the pull-up, what it takes. I've found a lot of success in doing those. So that's where I'd be concentrating on, just that lowering down. And then one day you'll notice that you can do it the other way. Also, I must say, like, if you are dropping weight, even dropping 1 kilo can really help. So keep trying with that as well, because you'll get to that point where suddenly you can lift yourself up, especially if you're in a fat loss phase.
I love it. Yeah. What I would say to add on to that is if you're getting stuck halfway, you know, a common way to get assistance in the chin up is to use those resistance bands. Okay. Mm. And the resistance band is the strongest when it's the most stretched. So if you're doing, let's say, a chin up and you have you're holding onto the bar, you got a band set up around your foot and your arm is straight. So the band is the stretchedest, stretchest that it possibly could. So it's the most stretched. So it's got the most tension on it. So you need the least amount of effort from your body to pull yourself up because the band's giving you the most support. And then as you get, you know, that halfway portion or closer to the top, your body has to work much harder to kind of like pull yourself up in that motion. So if you're getting stuck halfway, maybe you're using those bands and the bands are forcing your body to work really hard in that mid portion. And then maybe because you've been using lots of bands, you are cruising at that half range of motion because you're like, okay, I can do a chin up until, you know, my top of my head is at the bar, not the chin is up at the bar, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're kind of making that shorter range of motion. So think about if you are doing assisted chin ups, you know, the resistance band is the easiest way to do it because, you know, we could do it at home, we could do it at the gym. It's a really simple way to set up the assistance. What might be more helpful with assistance is like the assistance chin-up machine, which uses like the same resistance the whole way up and down. Also like a leg-assisted chin-up. So maybe you can get like a bench and like use your leg to help you through those sticking points, right? And then also what I do a lot personally is what I call a rack chin-up or rack pull-up, where I would get like the barbell in like a squat rack and then put my feet up on a bench in front of me. So what that does is just takes away a portion of my body weight. And then I would do a chin up in that area there and actually find them a little bit more stimulating than an actual chin up themselves. So there's lots of different ways that you can practice the chin up, but ultimately remember that the chin up is like a vertical pulling motion, right? Where a row would be more of a horizontal pulling motion. So in you can develop that vertical chin up or vertical pulling power through different ways and then slowly transfer that over to a chin up with your body weight. Okay.
Yes. And just remember, when you do it, you want to commit to your first one that you do for real. You want to do it from a dead hang, because that's the best. You don't want to jump, even though it's great if you can do it. But yeah, just think of that. Think of it as a dead hang.
Dead hang. Nick, last question here. This week, I've been struggling with my workouts. This morning, I was only on my third rep out of eight for the bench, and my arms gave way, and I had to get my girlfriend to come and help me get the weight off me. I'm on the intermediate program and feel like my body has slowly built up fatigue over time. What's the best way to manage my fatigue? Any help or advice appreciated? Thanks. Okay, let's break it down. So think about your body as a little bit of like a pipeline, okay? And through life, we're putting lots of things in the pipeline, right? We call them stimulus, we call them stresses. We put lots of stimulators and stresses into our pipeline. And our pipeline has a certain like diameter. And the more things that we kind of push into that pipeline, the kind of longer it takes for the things to kind of come out of the other end of the pipeline. Okay. And what this metaphor is kind of like all the things that we do in our life. You know, we put them in the pipeline. And if we don't have many things going on, really easy for those things to slide through the pipe at the other end, and you know, we recover from it, we pass it through our body. But if we have lots of things in our pipeline, things do kind of get backed up, does kind of slow down, and you know, it takes longer for it to come out of that other end and pass through our body. Okay, so first thing I would say for this individual is to think about your pipeline. How many things do you have in your pipeline? You know, you're doing the challenge, you're, you know, training at a high level, but maybe you are also, you know, maybe managing a family, managing social situations, managing your work life. Maybe you have your own business. Maybe you've got some really important deadlines to meet. Maybe you have some other stressful things happening in your body, such as, you know, injuries or illnesses. So your pipeline might be really full at the moment. What can we do? Well, you know, you may be at a point where you need to prioritize things in your pipeline, going, okay, you've got so many things going on. No wonder you're fatigued. Everything's just backing up and you're slowing down. So it might be worth reflecting on the other stresses in your life. And is there a way you can manage some of those stresses to you know, clean up your pipeline? That's number one. Number two, when it comes to the training side of things, you know, maybe you are training too much for your body right now. So if you can't manage all those other things in your pipeline, we go, okay, the intermediate program, let's say we're doing, you know, 20 total sets of exercise, right? Maybe that's too much. Total sets of exercise, and we need to actually bring that down slightly. So the volume for you might be too high for your recoverability. And I went through this process just recently where, you know, my own training, my load on the bar was increasing and the volume was too high for me when my body couldn't keep up. So I was feeling tired, lethargic all the time. So I ended up reducing the volume, you know, going from three sets to two sets, or, you know, four exercises a workout down to three exercises as a workout. So I'm only doing a few sets per workout, but that's a way for me to continually progress towards my goal. So your goal might be that, you know, you're doing, let's say 20 sets and you need to reduce that to 18 sets or 16 sets, you know, strategically bringing it down so that we can find that recoverability element to it. Next, it's worth thinking about those kind of big keystones of both performance and recovery. So the first one being, of course, sleep. Poor quality sleep is going to lead to poor quality performance and poor quality recoverability. So if your sleep is really trash, probably go work on your sleep. Other factors that influence performance in the gym is primarily our hydration levels. So if you are really dehydrated, that can negatively affect your training session. So I'd recommend you drink plenty of water leading up to your workout. It's not wise just to guzzle a whole bunch of water, you know, 30 minutes before you train, or you're going to have a really sore belly when you're trying to work out. And that might lead to, you know, that little bit of a regurgitation of water while you're training. So it's wise to drink plenty of water before your training session. Similarly, linked to hydration is our sodium levels. So if you have a low sodium level, that can negatively impact your training performance. Okay. And then finally, I would consider excitability prior to training. So that can be things like caffeine stimulation before you train. And then also like in the gym itself, like how excited are you to train? That could be the environmental factors like, you know, the music that's playing, you know, you're with your girlfriend, is she with you while you're doing bench, or is she off doing her own thing? You know, are you super excited to kind of tackle that workout, or are you feeling a little bit mellow? Like, they can drastically change our performance in the gym. Okay. But the main takeaway for you, bud, is that, you know, think about all the things in your pipeline. You might be simply doing too much. And, you know, you may need to just scale it down slightly so that you can manage it. And then there's also areas that you might need to improve on, such as your quality of sleep, so that you can recover well, so that you can manage your fatigue.
Yep. Perfect.
Nick, let's wrap up there for episode number 55, week 6 of the challenge. And we'll see you next week for episode number 56 of the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thank you so much, everybody. 56, here we come.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend.
Or leave us a review on iTunes to spread the good word. See you next time.